Morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Avodah Zarah is Chaf Beis, Mirtz Hashem. Today we're going to be finishing the first parak of the Masechta, a lively discussion, the beginning of today's daf. A really important one, and that is regarding partnerships between Jew and non-Jew. Partnerships between Jew and non-Jew is a very serious topic. You want to start the discussion, you start with today's daf, which is what we're going to be doing today. In terms of the halacha, obviously, you really need to seek professional guidance over here in terms of how to operate halachically. And so I know in just a moment we're going to go through some of the basic halachas of the Gemara, but in terms of where to go with that information so that you go to professional. But in the meantime, however, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday in the Gemara. We're three lines on the bottom, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. And before we start with the Braisa, let's just remind one another that in terms of the points that we made yesterday, we're talking about renting properties to a guy. And the Mishnah told us yesterday that Machlok, Chin, Rav Meir, and Rav Yossi, whether or not one is allowed to rent out properties to a guy, so you're not allowed to sell them property in Eretz Yisrael, so that's an Isser in the Torah of Lo Sechanim. Whether or not you're allowed to rent out properties to a guy, so that is open to a machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Rav Meir is more machmir, Rav Yossi is more makel. Rav Yossi says that in Eretz Yisrael you can rent them out houses, but you can't rent them out. You can't rent them out fields. By fields, there really are two issues. And one is that it's a gzera because it may lead to lo sechanim, and two because there's trumas and maestros. And by you renting it out to a guy, so you're mafkir trumas and maestros. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, remember the Gemara talked about outside Eretz Yisrael in one of two stages. One is Surya, and the other one is Chutzaris, regular Chutzaris. So there, according to Rav Yossi, we're going to be even more makel, because the further we get from Eretz Yisrael, the more makel one is allowed to be. Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel in yesterday's daf quoted that the halacha goes like Rav Yossi, that you are allowed to you're allowed to rent out properties, you're allowed to sell properties to a goy in Chutzaris. That was the Gemara's conclusion. There is a discussion, a quick one we had yesterday, even though it's not a quick discussion, that you're allowed to sell houses to a guy in Chutz Arts, but not for residential purposes. You're not allowed to rent out houses to a guy for residential purposes. But as we pointed out yesterday, the Tosfos says that we do, Lamaisa, we do, and Tosfos brought that discussion up yesterday. And then the Gemara talked about renting out your bathhouse to a guy. So the Gemara says you can't do that. That was in yesterday's daf in the Amud Beis. You can't rent your bathhouse to a guy, and the issue really is a Marsine issue. Everybody knows it's your bathhouse. It's being operated on Shabbos, and on Yontav, and on Chol HaMoed, and so people are going to say, hey, what's going on over here? How come Sugarman's operating a bathhouse on Shabbos and on Yontav? What, I don't understand. Right? Huh? Yes, right. So there is in other areas in halacha, it's an excellent question. In other areas in halacha, there is an allowance for a hecker. In other words, a clear demonstration that what we're doing over here is good, right? The parv milk that that's being served at the end of the chasna. So some hashkachas have the requirement that you got to tell people that it's parv, even though every. Yeah. Okay. Right. So there is a hecker discussion, if I remember correctly. That's an if. I think the Gemara in Croesus, and towards the beginning over there, has that discussion about what's a hecker, what's not a hecker. If I remember correctly, the Gemara over there says that the hecker has to come from the item itself, right? A sign does not serve as a hecker. Again, I'm speaking in generalities, but okay. Suffice to say, your point is good. Oh, yeah, right. 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 I think it's a Gemara in Croesus. But anyway, okay. So we'll see if I'm right. So the Gemara says you can't rent them out the bathhouse, but the Gemara said yesterday, what about properties? Properties are fine. Meaning if you want to lease your field over to a guy for sharecropping purposes, so that the Gemara says is okay. Why? So the Gemara gave the argument because a sharecropper, in other words, that's his profits, that's his share, and when he's working on Shabbos, we'll just simply say that he's handling his share of the profits on Shabbos, and that the Gemara says would be fine. That was the Gemara we learned yesterday. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar now is going to also give an opinion on this matter. It's not going to be the same opinion. It's going to be slightly different. So this is our starting point for today. So let's begin. We are three lines from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Lo Yeskir Adam Sadeh LeKusi. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that you're not allowed to rent your field to a kusi. Now he's not talking about a goy over here. He's talking about a kusi. Again, let's make sure we got it. Kusi is a ger, he's a convert. Coming into Eretz Yisrael during the generation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, this is towards the end of Bayis Rishon, where after Sancheirav takes out the northern tribes, the Asar HaShvatim of the north, so he replaces them with a group of people who were from the land of Kusa. Hence they were called Kusim. Now, they obviously weren't Jewish, but they came into Eretz Yisrael, and it's the end of Malachim, the Navi tells us the incident, where you had lions attacking them because they're being over to Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, and so they decide, we get the sense that doing Avodah Zarah here in Eretz Yisrael is a big no-no. And the lines are really like it's a good hint that it's not good. So they convert and they become Jews. Is that a good conversion? Is that a forced conversion? And the Gemara is the way of describing that is a geri emes or are they geri arayos? Arayos from the word lines. So are they geri emes or are they geri arayos? A hotly debated topic. For our purposes over here, let's assume that they're Jews and the conversion was a good conversion. And Tosha says that a little bit later on. So let's assume that they're Jews. So with that in mind now, so let's now read the Brisa again. Lo yaskir adam sadeh l'kusi, you're not allowed to rent out your land to a kusi. Why? Mimnesh nikr sashmo, because it's still, people know it's your land. And kusi zeh oseh b'mlach b'chol shamoed. And what's a kusi doing? He's working on a chol hamoed. He's working on a chol hamoed. Now remember, he's pretty much a Jew. I mean, pretty much. I could even say it better. He's a Jew. He's not going to be working on Shabbos. He's not going to be working on Yom Tov. But Chol HaMoed, Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's his feelings about Chol HaMoed. So, but doing it to a goy would be okay. Why? Arisa say Aved. Now, presumably because, look, the goy is going to be working on Shabbos, which is fine. Meaning, he's allowed to work on Shabbos. He's a goy. So, right, even better. So he's going to work on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, and why is that okay? I'll tell you why it's okay. Like we said in yesterday's daf, because he's a sharecropper, and being as such, he has shareholdings on the land. And as a result of that, when he's working the land on Shabbos, everyone understands. Oh no, he's just taking care of his share. So the Gemara says, but if you're right about that, kusinami ami arisa arisa seyavin. So the Gemara says, but if that's true, so why don't we say the same thing by the kusi? Meaning, should he work on Chol HaMoed? Of course the answer is no, he shouldn't work on Chol HaMoed. But just because it's your land, why won't people just simply say, look, I know that Sugarman's land, but the Kusi is doing his share. He shouldn't be doing it, but in other words, why am I necessarily going to be blamed or assigned credit when by the Goy we said that, oh, he's just handling his share and his profits. So why don't we say the same thing by the Kusi and therefore allow it? So the Gemara says like this. We're now on the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Arisusa l'Rabbi Shimon Elazar Leislein. So the Gemara says that really Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, remember, this is not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of yesterday's daf. It's a different Tana. He doesn't subscribe to this whole idea of, oh, sharecropping, people will understand. People will just simply say, oh, he's a sharecropper and he's just tending to his share of the profits. People do not say that, at least according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He doesn't subscribe to that whole thought process. So now, if that's true, so then we have to understand, there certainly is a distinction between a non-Jew and a Kusi. His statement was made regarding a Kusi. Clearly, he understood that there was a difference between a Kusi and an Ovi Kochavim. What's the difference? The Gemara says very simply, Elo Ovi Kochavim Maitama Motu Darmina Levitsayas. Because when I have a guy and I say, look, it's my land, and you want to lease it, that's fine. And you want to work it, that's fine. And sharecropping, that's fine. You know what? Just don't work on Shabbos, and that's the arrangement. And you know what he'll do? He'll listen to me. Meaning, if you want to go into this business with me, so you understand that you're not going to do it on Shabbos. And that's exactly where the Gemara is going. So my time amuta darmin levitzayis. The kusi not mearmin levitzayis. The Gemara says, so when you're renting out your land to the kusi, just simply explain to him. Look, there's this thing called chol hamoed. It's unbelievable. You take off. You don't work. And I don't want you working on my land on Shabbos, not during Chol HaMoed. So kusi lo tzayis. So the Gemara says, and that's the difference. When you tell the guy you're not working my land on Shabbos, the guy is going to respect that. But the kusi, on the other hand, what does he have? The worst thing imaginable. He has a little bit of knowledge. Oh, that's the worst. And the Gemara says, Amar ana gemir nitzvei minach. Yeah, you think it's us that are working on Chol HaMoed. That's laugh out loud funny. It's not us that are working on Chol HaMoed. I think it's much to work on Chol HaMoed. I'm also Jewish. I also know. So the Gemara says, so because he's one of us, because he knows a little bit, so he's going to now justify and say, look, I know he told me not to work the land of Chol Moed, and I nodded my head as if to say, like, oh, okay, fine, fine, whatever. But I'm going to work the land in Chol Moed. I don't think there's an issue to work on Chol Moed. Okay, so... Oh, okay. Again, you're right there. So Yachim Ayir Mimnei Nikras Hashmo typically Mishum Lifnei Iver. So the Gemara says, so that's true. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So we start off this morning with a statement by Rav Shimon ben Elazar. You're not allowed to give your land to a Kusi. Why? Because Mar Sayin. So the Gemara says, before getting to Mar Sayin is a Din Derabbanan, it's an Issa Derabbanan. Before getting to Mar Sayin issues, why don't we deal with the larger issue and the Issa Daraisa, which is Lifnei Iver? You know that he's going to be working on Chol HaMoed. That's what they do. They're kusim. That's what they do. They all work on Chol HaMoed. You know they're going to be working on Chol HaMoed. And now you're facilitating, you're aiding and abetting him to work on Chol HaMoed? That's Lifnei Iver. So the Gemara says, Chadavod Kamar. So the Gemara says, exactly. And that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar meant. Gemara says he actually meant both points. Number one, Mishum Lifnei Iver. Number one, it's an issue of Lifnei Iver. Number two, Vod Mimnei Nikras Hashmo. And also, there's a Mar Sayin issue as well. So there really are two issues. And because there really are two issues, so that's why you're not allowed to you're not allowed to lease your land to a Kusi, because you know he's going to be working on Chol HaMoed. So one, Lifnei Iver. Two, it's also Mar Sayin. Rabbeinu Tam Ovi...
Selling
is different. Selling, it's no longer mine. It's his. Oh, and you know he's going to be working on Chol HaMoed. Okay.
Was this before they considered Kusim Goyim?
Yeah. In other words, the Gemara in Chulin.
So what was the conversion?
They converted. No, they went through the conversion, and then a question of whether there was a legitimate or illegitimate conversion.
But at what point
they
were considered
Jews? Later. No. In other words, whether or not they were considered Jews or not was a hotly debated issue. And then the Gemara in Chulin says that it eventually got to a point, it was around the period of the Amoraim, where they basically said, okay, we're done. Meaning...
That's when they found the Goyim. Correct?
Okay. Yep. Okay. Before we go on to the Gemara, just one really interesting point over here. Working on Chol HaMoed, is it Issa D'oraisa or Issa D'rabbanan? So I that's an open-ended question. You know that's a machlokis. It's not clear whether or not doing malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'oraisa or Issa D'rabbanan. For our purposes right now, let's assume it's an Issa D'rabbanan. Now I say let's. Rabbi Tam feels that way. So let's assume it's an Issa D'rabbanan. Okay? So now let's think about it. What did the Gemara just say? That if I were to give my land over to a goy, if I were to give my land over to a kusi to work on Chol HaMoed, that would be a violation of Lifnei Iver. If, you know, capital I, capital F. If working on Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Rabbanan, so what did we just learn together? That the Issa of Lifnei Iver would apply even if what I'm facilitating is an Issa D'Rabbanan. This is a reasonable conclusion. It's Tosis's conclusion. But again, the whole conclusion is only operating with the premise that doing malach on Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Look at the second Tosis on the Amud. I'll read just a little bit of it. I skip down to where it says the words Umikan. It's about six lines into the Tosos. Umikan yesh la viraya la mashe pirish rabbeinu tam. Dishayich lamemer lifnei iver. Af imidi deleis be yisuri ala D'Rabbanan. We're going to say Lifnei Iver, even if the violation is a violation of only an Issa D'Rabbanan, working on Chol HaMoed is Issa D'Rabbanan. Deha malacha de Chol HaMoed, eino asur elem D'Rabbanan, ki debirsh Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam happens to be of the opinion that working on Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Rabbanan, and now you take that position, Rabbeinu Tam, you plug it into our Gemara, and the conclusion is very reasonable, that there's an Issa of Lifnei Iver, even on a Din D'Rabbanan. You could have made the argument, and you could have said, what's Lifnei Iver? Then I'm not allowed to aid and abet somebody to violate the Torah. But in other words, when the Chachamim come along, and they introduce a new Isser, which is what Gzer Durabanans are, they're introducing a new Isser. So for that to be a violation of Lifnei Iver, well, when Lifnei Iver was presented to us, that Gzer never existed. And you could have made the argument that there is no Lifnei Iver on Issa D'Rabbanan, but Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you look at our Gemara over here, again, assuming that Chol HaMoed, working on Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Rabbanan, Lifnei Iver applies even on Issa D'Rabbanan as well. Okay. It's not that simple. The Gemara in Chulin says, again, we keep going back to the Gemara in Chulin. Gemara in Chulin says that they didn't accept some mitzvos, meaning... You know, it was a little bit of pick and choose. The Gemara says that the mitzvahs they did beautifully. But they neglected some of the mitzvahs.
Well, it was not that they were
Not so much. Not so much. Seduchim by Tusim historically were just much later in period of time. The Kusim already were there by. Okay. Yeah. I guess more or less. Right. Two different historical periods. Okay. Okay. There were these two people who were in the saffron business. Okay. Morikai is the Aramaic word. The Hebrew word is karkom. And the English word is saffron, if any of that helps you. Actually, I know what saffron is. Okay, it's just the you guys put in the rice. It's delicious. Okay, it's expensive. Okay, good. All right, so honey maraca. Huh?
More expensive than gold.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Wow. So the way Rashi explains it is as follows. Now I'm presenting all this like Rashi, and that is that the way they structured their deal is that the two of them were sharecroppers and they sharecropped together as partners. So in other words, you have now two sharecroppers, Jew and non-Jew, working the field in order to grow saffron. And the field belongs to somebody. Who did it belong to? Whatever. Well, obviously the landowner. Okay, also coming to Rava, and basically now here was the way they operated their business. The guy worked on Shabbos, and the Jew worked on Sunday. Okay, and they now go to Rava, and they go to Rava, and they ask Rava, so now can we share profits? Okay, and I know this is a really practical issue. I know it, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the daf today, just to reiterate, a lot of very practical halacha comes from this gemara over here. Okay, now is not the time to ask me about what if I'm in a partnership and I have, you know, arrangements, and that's all good. It's good, meaning there are ways to work it and it works. And you'll see from the Gemara, everything starts with the Gemara over here. Our purpose is to learn the Gemara. And then you have any practical questions, so then you can ask me afterwards, which and then I'll tell you to go ask the local rabbi. But it's fine though. I have the patience for all that. So the Gemara says So they go to Rava. Sharalahu. So Rava says, okay, it's mutter. That was Rava's answer. Now we don't have enough details yet, but Eitzrei Ravina la Rava. So Ravina says to Rava, how did you just say it's mutter? Like how did that happen? Yisrael v'Avikochavim shekiblu sad b'shutfa. So the Yisrael and the Avikochavim that accepted upon themselves the land b'shutfa. Again, Rashi over here says that both of them are sharecroppers, and they're both now arranging how they're going to work the land. And obviously there are 7 days of the week. One of those days a Jew can't work. So lo yomar Yisrael v'Avikochavim tochal kachav b'shabbos v'ani b'chol. Now here's what can't happen. Meaning the Brice over here is going to discuss three scenarios. The first scenario is what is not allowed. What is not allowed is after they made the agreement and after they've now gone to business, and now the Jew says to the non-Jew, look, here's what you'll do. You'll do my Shabbos shift. I'll do one weekday shift for you. And then we'll split it. You can't do that. Why not? So I'm going to read Rashi. Over here, I'll go slowly. I'll go carefully. So Rashi over here says, because I'm going to read the Rashi. Lo yomar Yisrael tol atah chalkecha b'shabbos, lefisha nasa shlucho achatzi ayom amuta alav. Because they are partners, that means that every day they have a shared responsibility of working the land. So when I'm telling him, hey, you do my Shabbos shift, so basically what I'm telling him to do is I'm sending him as my agent to do my shared portion of Shabbos. And that is what's called shlichus. And it's connected to, Rashi doesn't use this language, but it's connected to Amir Lakum, where I'm basically instructing him to do work for me that's on Shabbos. That is not okay. However, now let's go back to the Gemara. V'im hisnu b'tchila mutter. If, however, before going into the partnership, they arrange and contract before the work begins, before the partnership begins, and they say you're going to work on Shabbos and I'll work on Sunday, so then that would be okay. I turn back to Rashi. Rashi explains v'im hisnu b'tchila kodem shehudlu alav mutter. Daha lo kibo ala Yisrael avoda de Shabbos ve'inu kechav mishlucho. Because if we go into the partnership and I say, look, Shabbos, that's you. You're Shabbos. I'll be Sunday. Sunday will be me. So then that's fine. Because now there is no daily shared responsibility between Jew and non-Jew. Now Shabbos exclusively is in his domain. Sunday is exclusively in my domain, and that would be fine. Next, we are now up to the third point of the Braisa. In Bala Cheshbon Aser. If, however, we get to Cheshbon, so then it's going to be Aser. Rashi's insistent that this is not going on either of the previous cases. Rather, I'll read the Rashi inside. In Bala Cheshbon. Lav Asnu Mitzchilakai. It's not going on whether or not a condition was made. Ela Milsab An Peinav Shehi. This is an independent point of the Braisa. Klomar. In Kibul Stam V'asu Stam V'ayla V'kocham V'shabbos V'yisrael B'chol. V'lot Zival Yisrael U'ba'al L'cheshbon L'achar Zman. Let's say like this. They accepted the shared responsibility of working the field. And it kind of just happens organically. Where the non-Jew understands. I'm in partnership with a Jew. I know about his Shabbos. So you know what? I'll just take the Shabbos shift. And the Jew takes on the Sunday shift. And it happens organically. So there was no prearrangement going into the contract, and there was no instruction post the contract. It just happens now organically. And so now, what's left to discuss? The prophet. What do we do regarding the prophet? And I read the Rashi. And then afterwards now, they're splitting the prophet, and now, oh, how many Shabbos did you work? How many weekdays, how many non-Shabbos days did I work? And you know what? Let's split that up. Says the Braisa, Aser, you can't do that. Why not? The Gemara doesn't say. We go back to Rashi. Dischar Shabbos hu notel degali daite dovi kochav mishlucha aya. Because if we're profit sharing, and I'm taking Shabbos profits, so that is what's called Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos is the idea that not only am I not allowed to work on Shabbos, I'm also not allowed to profit from Shabbos as well. If I do an employment, not work, not malacha, if I do an employment that allows me to profit on Shabbos, so that's going to be aser. So in other words, I can't, now I'm going to say this with a little bit tongue-in-cheek, I can't be a chazan on Shabbos, I can't be a mole on Shabbos, I can't, in other words, I can't do things that arrive to me profit that comes on Shabbos. We're not talking about any malacha. In other words, we're just talking about gaining from work done on Shabbos. On mutter malacha that's done on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. Now I'm sure everybody here knows, but I just want to make this point clear. There are ways to get around Schar Shabbos, notably the concept known as Havla'a, that if I work on Shabbos and during the week as well, so then you can do what's called Havla'a, right? Years ago. So for Shabbos, I went to Brooklyn, I worked in a group home on Shabbos. So, right? And I got paid. And it was a firm organization. But there you work before Shabbos, you work after Shabbos, you work on Shabbos, you work after Shabbos. So that's the principle of Havla, and that allows it. But over here, if we have a whole pool of money, and I say to the guy, oh, you worked on Shabbos, and I worked during the week. So let me now take the Shabbos profit. So that is going to be a violation of Schar Shabbos. That's the way Rashi explains it. So the Gemara says, so now, with this price in mind, so Ravina's turning to Rav, and Ravina says to Rav, what did you just do? Meaning you had these two sharecroppers, Jew and non-Jew, and one worked during the week and one worked on Shabbos, and you just simply say it's okay. It's not that simple. If you contracted going in, so that's what's called making a tonight before, and that's okay. That was the second point of the Braisa. If you didn't contract going in and there was instruction after the contract, hey, I'm a Jew, you'll work Shabbos, I'll work Sunday, that's shlichus, that you can't do as well. And if no point was made, but we are profit sharing afterwards, and in the splitting up of profits, I'll say to him, hey, give me the Shabbos profits, and I'll give you something corresponding to that. That's what's called Tzchai Shabbos. That's no good. So Ravina turns to Rava, and Ravina says to Rava, so you can't just simply say mutter. It's not that simple. So the response, ichsif. So Rava was embarrassed, meaning, okay, nachinami. Meaning Rava acknowledged that you're right. I shouldn't have just simply said mutter. I should have asked some more questions. But then, right, we find this in the Gemara often, where you have someone as great and special as Rava, so he gets the Yata Dishmaya. Meaning it happens to have been that he should have asked more questions, but Lamaisa, what turned out is that there was a Tanai made between the two partners before the contract was arranged, and therefore, it's okay. It was okay. Now, Rava didn't ask that question, but Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a little Yata Dishmaya. Next story. Rav Gavia may bake sil, Amar Hanu Shasila de Arla. Hava. So there were these trees that they were planting for Arla, and and just a fantastic business arrangement was made between non-Jew and Jew, where the Jew said to the non-Jew, "Hey, I'll tell you what, you'll reap the fruits of the first 3 years of the tree, and you know what I'll do? I'll do then the next 3 years, okay? And look, I'm such a good guy. I'll let you profit first. Good. And meanwhile, we all know the first 3 years of the tree. So those fruit to Aser. That's called Arla, the Isser of Arla. So basically, what you're now doing is that you're creating an arrangement in which you're basically profiting from Isser. Now, I don't mean it as literally as it came out from my mouth. You're not really profiting from Isser, but basically, you went into arrangement knowing, oh, I can't use the fruit the first 3 years. So you take those, and corresponding to those, I'll take the next 3 years. Okay. So also come to Rava Shar Luhu. So they went to Rav, and Rav says Mutter. Okay, so at least in two occasions today, we know Rav's tendency, again, this is anecdotal, it's two incidents, but so far Rav today has been Matir. He's been allowing it. So Vahautzer Ravina la Rav, the Gemara says, now, didn't Ravina ask a question against Rav? Meaning, again, Ravina just in the previous story, Ravina said, what about the Brisa? So the Gemara says, L'siyua siya. So the Gemara says, no. Over here, the assumption is that they made it Tanai, and as a result of that, it's fine. So the Gemara says, Vaha Echsif. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the previous story, Rava was embarrassed. So the Gemara says, La Yizvar Me'olam. No. That detail that was reported earlier, the Gemara says, it's not a correct detail, it's not a true detail. Meaning, what Rava was saying is that if you make a condition, it's okay. Then they brought in the Brisa. The Brisa supports the point of Rava, and here we're doing the same thing as well. Meaning they made a condition and therefore it's okay.
Why is it not a Sira
Anuah? Huh?
Why is it allowed? Why is it not a Sira Anuah?
Because they made it Nachinami, meaning it is a Sirbana. But in other words, they made it Tanai beforehand and then Tanai beforehand. So he says, look, the first 3 years are yours.
Well, why is the Yid keeping the full amount the next 3 years? Because you already gave him the previous 3 years.
But the arrangement. Yeah, but the arrangement was those first 3 years are yours. They're not mine. I'm not benefiting from the first 3 years.
You do that in tax law.
Okay, so okay, so David, one day I'm gonna. Okay, well,
for a week, and I'll sell the chometz for a store the week after Pesach.
But this over here, I don't want to belabor this point. Over here, there was a tanai that was made beforehand, and the tanai that was made beforehand is that for the first 3 years, that's yours. You cover that, meaning, and it's your profits. They're not my profits; they're yours. The next 3 years, I'll take the profit.
It wasn't all for the guy. That's
yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
It wasn't all for the guy.
Okay. Correct. But what he's asking is that it's seemingly you're benefiting from it. I understand. Okay, I'm Ibai Lahu. Continuing in the Gemara. Some am I. Okay, now the Gemara's question over here is like this. Here, we know the two sides of the We know the two sides of Isser and Heter on this issue. The issue of Isser is when no prearrangement was done and instruction was made after the contracted partnership. That's Isser. You can't do that. That's Shlichus. We know what's Mutter. What's Mutter is a Tanai. Going into the business arrangement, going into the partnership, I clearly stipulate, Shabbos, that's you. Weekday, that's me. Good. And that's Mutter. So we got the Isser and we got the Heter. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about Stam? So Stam means there was no communication. No communication made before the contract and no communication afterwards, meaning no Shlichus. So, and what happened? Rashi explains over here what happened was, again, organically, it worked out where the Jew worked during the week and the guy worked on Shabbos. So now, Im Hisnu, I'm sorry, so Stam Amai, so Tashma, Im Hisnu Mitzchila Mutter. So look at the Braisa. The Braisa says, when would it be okay? If you make it Tanai. Anything less than that, it's not okay. Hastam Aser. So the Gemara says, so you see that Stam would be Aser. Ema Seifa, the Gemara says, okay, you want to make a deal from the Braisa, go to the next part of the Braisa. Im Baula Cheshbon Aser. If, let's say, they're profit sharing at the end, that's Aser. However, Hastam Amutter. But let's say they don't profit share. Let's say that it just works out that I work during the week, you work on Shabbos. You get your Shabbos earnings, I'll get my weekday earnings. We don't share the profits. I don't take the Shabbos profit. So seemingly, under those circumstances, it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're asking me now about Stam. where there was no arrangement made going into the contract, there was no instruction post-contract, it just kind of worked out. So what would be the story there? Gemara ends off with, I could see it in one of both ways, in one of either way. And so the Gemara doesn't conclude on that matter. Okay? Hadron alach lefnei ideim, that is the end of the first parak of the Masechta. We begin now the second parak of the Masechta, similar theme. The second parak also is going to be dedicated to the topics of Isuri de Rabbanan, meaning Avodah Zarah. We're talking here now about Avodah Zarah. That's been our topic of discussion for the last 3 weeks. And in the first parak, we talked about Gzeirah de Rabbanan. We talked about various decrees that were made by the Chachamim as a result of the fact that that we don't want to get to Avodah Zarah, either Lifnei Iver, or they're gonna around their holiday times, they're gonna be very religious, they're gonna thank their gods, Lo Yishama Al Picha. We talked also over the course of the first parak about other types of commercial activity that one is not allowed to do with a non-Jew, for either Avodah Zarah issues or perhaps Shabbos issues. We talked about not selling them property in Eretz Yisrael, Lo Sechanem. So we talked about various Gzeiros de Rabbanans that were enacted in order to prevent Avodah Zarah. In the second parak of the Masechta, similar discussion. A lot of the really halacha lamaisa topics of Pasakum, Bishul Akum, all right, Stam Yenam, so that's going to be coming up in this second parak of the Masechta, but we have a little bit of time before we get there. Where do we start off the second parak? We're on the bottom of Chav Beis Amad Aleph. We're starting the second parak of the Masechta. So we're talking over here about our concern about them doing averas with our property or them doing averas with our children. So we're talking about heinous activities. We're talking about Gilui Arayos, Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema. It's going to, in other words, there was a point in time where, and you'll see the Gemara is going to be very graphic, you're going to see that their behavior on these issues was perverse. They were extraordinarily amoral when it comes, immoral when it comes to these kinds of issues. And so, as a result of that, so you see some of the gzeras that were enacted, to us seemingly, in other words, although I'm not sure how much better our society is, it's really hard to gauge these days, but back then, their society seemingly was run amok. And as a result of that, the Chachamim make gzeras. So the Mishnah says it straight out. What you can't do is you can't park your animal in their stables because basically they're chashad al ha-revia. Because their behavior is such in which you're basically tempting them. And they're going to be involved in Mishka Behema and you're going to be facilitating. And therefore you're going to be violating the Isra of Lifnei Iver. Look at the second Rashi on the Mishnah. Uvneinok nasru ba'dechziv ayula basar echad. Yatze Behema chai va'of. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rashi is citing over here, where one of the Arayas, we have a long list of Arayas, right? Parshas Achrimos, Parshas Kedoshim. We have many, many various Arayas. The Goyim have an Isra Arayas. It's one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but there are not that many things listed included in their Arayas. One of the things, however, that is included in their Arayas is Mishka Behema. That's included in their Arayas. And so therefore, Rashi goes on to write, Yatze Behema Chai Vof, Yeshkan Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitei Michshol. And if I park my animal in their stable, so I'm going to be putting them in a position where they're now going to be looking towards my animal to violate Mishka Behema, and I'm going to be aiding and abetting. So I can't park my animal over there. Okay. Let me finish the Mishnah. Velotis yachri shemahem, imnesha chashun al harayos. Also, you cannot have a woman have yichud with one of them, because again, they're chashun on harayos. And over here, it's more than lifnei iver, because also we're talking about the violation of one of our girls. Velotis yachid adam imahem, imnesha chashun al shvichazamim. And also, you put yourself alone in the room with them, so there's also concern of shvichas damim. So for self-preservation purposes, and aside from the avera, meaning shvichas damim for them is an avera as well. But even before we get to that point, there's also a simple self-preservation issue, right? We'd like to live as long as possible. So you're not allowed to perform yichud with them, it might lead to shvichas damim. We turn to the Gemara, we're on Chav Beis Amad Beis or Reminu. Now the Gemara says, now the problem is like as follows. We have a brisa, a tosefta. The brisa says, let's say I want to buy an animal for a carbon, And I happen to have a local farmer who is not Jewish, who's selling the animals. And so, can I buy it from him? And the Brisa says, sure, it's not a problem. And what are some of the concerns that the Brisa says you don't need to be concerned with? One, let's go through the list. Roveya, two, Nirva. Okay? In other words, the animal's involved in bestiality. Now, if the animal's involved in bestiality, the animal would be pasul as a karban. Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Baba Kama. It's the top lines of Rashi. Roveya v'nirva muksav v'neva pasul l'karban t'tanya b'Baba Kama mina be'ema v'lo kol be'ema lo'tzias roveya v'nirva. So the Torah says mina behema, which means that some animals are good for a carbon, but not all animals. Which animals are excluded? An animal involved in bestiality. Roveya, where the animal itself sodomized a person. When I say sodomized, the person, whether is or is not an active participant, a willing participant, doesn't matter. In other words, if the animal is involved in such an act, the animal is possible for a carbon. Nirva, where the animal is receiving the person. Still, under such circumstances, the animal is possible to be a carbon. And next two things on the list is Muksa and Navad. Muksa, Rashi writes over here, I'm reading the Rashi, Sheik Salvi Yachtol Takrovas Avodas Kochav. Rashi says Muksa just simply means it was designated as an offering for Avodah Zara. Rashi Shita is that as long as the animal is just simply set aside to be offered to an Avodah Zara, it now is the status of Muksa. Muksa over here, not Shabbos Muksa. Muksa over here just simply means set aside, designated for Avodah Zara, and therefore it's no longer eligible to be brought as a carbon. Tosfos over here, you take a look at the second Tosfos on the Amud, it's toward the bottom. So Tosfos over here says there needs to be a little bit more involved in order to give the animal status of Muksa. See Tosfos for his Shita. But anyway, Rashi says designation is all you need. Navad, Shaso, Avodah Kochav, Mishachev Allah. And as far as an animal that's Navad, the animal itself is worshipped. So they're bound down to the animal as a god. So that such an animal now is considered Navon, and once again it's pasul karban. So, tells me the Brisa, I'm allowed to go to a goy farmer and buy from him animals, and I don't have to be worried that the animal was involved in any act of bestiality or used for avodah zara. Now, Bishlam amuksav Navon, imisa de aksev, imisa de pache, lava mazmin lay. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the third and fourth point of the Brisa, I totally get it. Meaning, if the guy set aside this animal as Takrovas of Avodah Zarah, he's not selling it to you. Because he wants to use it himself. By virtue of the fact that he's selling it to you is a clear indication that he didn't set aside for Avodah Zarah. And I know you can make the argument, well, maybe he wants, you know, bedafka, to have me offer a carbon that's, you know, that is, you know, that's puzzle. But not a concern. So in other words, so by him selling it to me, I know it's not muksa, I know it's not nevad. I get that. But, ella rovea v'nirva lechush. But the question is very simple. Once we know that the general practice of goyim, bizman ha-mishta, bizman ha-braisa, is that they're shtuf and bezima, and then they're involved in mishka behema, and the mishnah, says it's so much so, that I can't even park my animal in their stable. Because I'm going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver, so what would allow me to buy an animal from them and assume that it was not involved in Mishka Behema? It's a very good question. So the Gemara is going to give three answers to this question. Answers two and three are coming up in tomorrow's daf. Today, we just look at answer number one, which is really the balance of today's daf. Amar Av Tachlifa, Amar Av Shila Bar Avime Mishmei Derav. So this first answer is said over in the name of Rav. So the Gemara says, look, we're going to make a distinction whether it's your animal versus their animal. You see, when it comes to their animal, so if they sodomize their own animals, so the animals now become sterile, and they don't want that, so therefore they're not going to sodomize their own animal. There is a financial impediment. There's a financial inhibition where they will be inhibited in doing so, because they're going to suffer financially. The animals are going to become sterile. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, okay, so I understand now that if it's a female animal, so they're not going to sodomize their own animals because it'll create sterility. But the Gemara says, what about a male animal? So Amar Rav Kahana, hol machish mabasar. So the Gemara says, well, it's also a financial consideration. Because once a male animal is involved in Mishka Behema, so it weakens the animal. Okay, I don't know if I can explain this biologically, physiologically, but the Gemara says it. We assume, of course, it's correct. So therefore, it weakens the animal, and therefore, it's another financial consideration. So Allahad Tanya Lochim Behema May Roash Alahem Lechish Dilma Rava. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, I can buy an animal from a shepherd. So the Gemara says, Lechish Dilma Rava. So why aren't we concerned that the shepherd now violated the animal? So here, in other words, when you're buying it from the farmer, so that means they're his animals. And as we just learned together, he's not going to ruin his own animal. But over here, if we're talking about a shepherd, then they're not his animals. He's only hired to shepherd them, but they're not his animals. So why are we concerned? So the Gemara says, "Dilma Ravala, Roa Shalahem Yari Mishum Hefset Tzchar." So the Gemara says again, there's a financial consideration. Because if he's caught with the animals, so then he's going to get fired, he's not going to get paid, and so as a result of that, he's not going to do it. Elahad, the Tanya, the Gemara says, okay, but what about the Braisa? In Moshe Mehema, the Rosh Lehem. Lema Rosh Lehem, and Yarim Shem Hefzit Tzchara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we know, we learned on the Braisa, that you can't give your animal over to a shepherd for fear that the shepherd's going to be with the animal. Why aren't we concerned that, why don't we say that if he's caught, so he's gonna lose his wages. And why isn't that enough of an impediment? So the Gemara says, Inu diyade ba'adade mirusasei. Anu de lo yadin ba'hu lo mirusasei. So the Gemara gives a phenomenal psychological insight, and that's the following. Look, if the shepherd's being hired by a guy, since the guy himself is involved in Mishka Behema, so they understand one another. In other words, then the guy now knows that when he hires a shepherd, he's gotta watch out for it. But over here, us Jews, we don't involve ourselves in such activity. And then for us, now, like, in other words, we don't suspect people do these things. We don't do these things. We don't suspect other people do these things. So we're not going to be careful to watch for it. So the Gemara says that's a big difference between a shepherd being hired by a non-Jew versus a shepherd being hired by a Jew. Amar Rabbi Haina Dami Inche, the Gemara says there's an adage that describes this as well. Michtava Glalabaza. That if you have a sharp metal instrument, so it goes right through marble. And Ragla Bechavre Yada. And if you have somebody who spreads gossip, so he knows what's going on with other people as well. Meaning he also knows what people are saying about him. Meaning if he's gossip mongering about others, so he also understands that, you know, what comes around goes around, and people are doing the same thing regarding him as well. So in other words, again, this adage is just supporting the idea that we said earlier, that when a guy hires a shepherd, because the guy themselves are involved in Mishka Behema, they know full well what the shepherd is interested and up to, and that's why they're going to really watch out for him. Mashenke, when a Jew hires a shepherd, so we have no idea, it's not in our Baruch Hashem. This is not part of who we are, and so therefore we're going to be so unsuspecting, and we're not going to suspect that the shepherd's going to be involved in such activity. So the Gemara says, so what about male animals buying them from female owners? So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, we shouldn't buy it, because maybe we're concerned that they're involved in Mishka Behema. So the Gemara says, Kevin de Magribe Mirsasa. So the Gemara says, there too, the concern is not going to be that strong, Kevin de Magribe Mirsasa. So the Gemara says, no, because what's going to end up happening is that she's going to be, if she were to be involved in Mishka Behema, so then the animal's going to follow around and that's going to be embarrassing. So, and she doesn't want to be publicly embarrassed like that. So what she'll do is, again, it's an inhibitor. It'll prevent her from being involved in Mishka Behema, knowing that the animal is going to follow around. Elahad ni Rav Yosef armalasa lotabi kalba v'lo tishrei be bar be rav v'ushpiza. So the Gemara says, yeah, if that's true, what about the following? We have the following two rules given to us by Rav Yosef. One, rule number one, a widow shouldn't raise dogs. In other words, a widow shouldn't have dogs have dogs around. And we'll explain that better in just a moment. And number two, v'lo tishrei bar beirav b'ushpiza. And the second rule of Rav Yosef is that if you're a young yeshiva bachar, so you shouldn't take in other words, back then they traveled to learn, and they had various people in the community would host them, so he shouldn't be living by a widow. Now, the Gemara says, bishlamar bar beirav tzniela. So the Gemara says, that second statement of Rav Yosef, it makes all the sense in the world. Because if they do end up caving into temptation, and the yeshiva bacher is with now his host widow, so the Gemara says, but at least, in other words, they'll know that they should be private about it, they shouldn't be public about it, and therefore what may end up happening to the yeshiva bacher is he'll give in to his yetzer hara, and no one has to know about it. He doesn't have to tell anybody about it. But Elakalva came into the Migra Ba Mirsasa. But the Gemara says, but as far as a widow raising dogs in her house, Gemara says, look, she's not going to be with the dog, and because consider about the public humiliation. Meaning what's going to end up happening is wherever she goes, the dog's going to follow if they're involved in Mishka Behema. And isn't that embarrassment going to prevent her? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. The Gemara says, no, because consider, if she's raising the dog, that means she's feeding the dog. Why is the dog following around or around all the time? Because he's feeding her. So if she then has relations with the dog, so then it will not be publicly humiliating because people will just simply say, oh, she's feeding the dog. Nikevas eitz and nikevas my taima. You're not allowed to park your animal. If it's a female animal, you're not allowed to park it by a female innkeeper. So the Gemara says, now this one is hard to understand. Why? Why not? Meaning, if it's a male innkeeper, you understand. Or if it's a male animal by a female innkeeper, then you understand. But the Gemara says, but if it's a female animal and female innkeeper, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, my time alone yachtin and I'm a marokfer barchamim and meshav diko chav mitzvi meitzon neshech avraham opam mshena motza umotzes behema verova. So the Gemara says, because what's going to end up happening is that a paramour is going to come into her house and see the animal parked outside. And again, it's hard for us to really, you know, to really think in these terms. And Baruch Hashem, we don't think in these terms. That Gemara already made that point. We don't think like this. But the paramour is going to come, and instead of being with the woman, you see the female animal parked outside, he's going to be with the female animal. Gemara actually, in this Ibai Sema goes even one step further. Even if there's an opportunity to be with the woman, the innkeeper, he's going to actually favor the animal over the innkeeper. Gemara makes a statement. It's a powerful statement. The Gemara says that they actually have more of a proclivity towards our animals than they have over our wives. Tosos over here. Tosos, not anyone contemporary. Tosos says that this is it's a harsh statement to the Gemara. I don't know where the source of this is of the Gemara, but anyway, but another, even a female animal by female innkeeper is an issue. Amrav Yochem Mishasha Banachash Achava Hita Bazuama. That when Adam and Chava sinned, and along came the Nachash inserted Zuama into Chava. So the Gemara says, and so therefore they have this kind of proclivity. So the Gemara says, Yachi Yisrael Nami. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Chava's Eim Kol Chai. We also come from Chava. Why don't we have this proclivity? So the Gemara says, Yisrael Shamdul Harsina Paska Zuamasam. Ovdi Kochav Shalamdul Harsina La Paska Zuamasam. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we had the Harsina experience. So that proclivity was taken out of us. They did not have the Har Sinai experience, so that proclivity was not taken out of them.
What about the
Tosos raises your issue. Okay, Tosos, bottom Tosos. Veneer de Gerum Nami de Paska Zumasam Hainam Ishum de Afagav de Ino Lohava Mazlai Hava. Tosos says that the Mazla was there. Ibayilahu, just finishing up the daf. Ofos Mai. So far we have said that if you park your animal by them, so because of this proclivity that they have, this really strong Yetzirah that they have, so you're going to be aiding and abetting in them in Lifnei Iver. The question of the day, the Brisa says you can buy animals from them with no concern that the animal was sodomized. So the Gemara says because the first answer, Rav's answer, it's their animal, they don't sodomize their animals because of the financial loss. What about birds? So my Tashma, the Amar of Yehuda Mashmo, Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Ani Reizu veKochav Shalaka Chiveiz Menashok. I saw a guy. He took a goose. Rava, he sodomized it. Chanka, he choked it to death. Vitzala, he roasted it. Vaachla, and then he ate it. VaAmar of Yirmiyahu Midifta, Ani Reizu Aravi Echad Shalaka Yerek Menashok. I saw an Arab, and he took a Yerek Menashok. It's an animal limb. And Chakak Ba Kede Revia, Rava Tzala Vaachla. And again, he was involved in this really immoral behavior with it, sodomized it, roasted and ate it. And again, the Gemara's point is that they have such a proclivity, they have such a yetzer hara for these things, that, in other words, birds included as well, says the Gemara.